And I want you to just give a nice warm welcome to Jude as he comes and shares his mission script.
Thank you so much. Good morning. I was actually just talking to my friend Noah Faust that I think it would look pretty good right there with all the other blue and white ones. Why don't we welcome the Faust for coming here today? I'll introduce them a little bit later. But yeah, thank you guys. I really appreciate it. Chris, could you throw up the first slide? Perfect, wonderful. So last two Sundays ago, I got to introduce the idea of this mission trip, and I got to share a little bit about it, and I'll just give a brief recap, and I'll also open up with the quotation that I opened up with last time. So I read this quotation from a man named James Hudson Taylor, who's a British Baptist Christian missionary who served in China. And he said that God's work done God's way will always receive God's supply. And God supplied this trip in a lot of ways. And it was a miracle and it was fantastic. So I'll share the first part of the story. That's pretty fun. So we took a bus from West Shore Free Church to go to Philly, and then we're gonna catch a flight from Philly to Miami. And we're all on the bus, we're all excited, we're all like talking to each other. There's some people that have like yogurt out and they're eating their granola bars and they're all excited to go to Honduras. And we're driving down and we're having a good time, and all of a sudden we're like smelling burning rubber. And you're looking out the window and you see like chunks of rubber flying past the window, and you know, you're still eating your yogurt. You don't know what's really going on. You're kind of excited. Yeah, you know, it's okay. And the bus driver's face, I can see it in the rearview mirror, is like, uh-oh. And I was like, we have a flat tire. So that was the first bit of warfare, I think, that we encountered on the trip. And my mom told me a lot about the warfare that I might encounter, because we're going to go do God's work, right? We're going to do something that's important. We're going to bring people to the kingdom of God. We're going to introduce them to the idea of Christ and the way that he died for our sins. And that's a big deal. The adversary doesn't want us to share that. And sure enough, I guess his first strike was our flat tire. So we pull over to the side of the road. We're tending to the flat tire. And we're halfway through to Philly. And our first thought is like, we're going to miss our flight, because we're on the side of the road, halfway to Philly. We need people to come get us. We have so much luggage because we're going to Honduras, and we have crafts, and we have Bibles, lots of Bibles, heavy Bibles, and we have lots of kids and lots of snacks still. And so we need a lot of people to come get us, at least three people with big vans. And sure enough, Mrs. Faust was outside working on it, and she had her phone calls, and she's going at it, and she's going to be a mama bear and make sure that we're taken care of, and she sure was. And so we got three people, and Ricky's brother, Jason, actually was one of the people that came and picked us up. And that was just our first miracle. So we went through a program called Awesome Adventure, and they were first affiliated with the church West Shore Free, and then Life in Christ recently. When did they become affiliated with this?
Last year.
And so the only two churches that are supporting this trip to Honduras. And that's really cool. And so, you know, if we could get a flag to Honduras, maybe not through this, but some way, shape, or form, that'd be a wonderful thing. Yeah. So the second strike that I talked about was the fact that when we went from Philly to Miami, we were late to the Philadelphia airport, and because of the flat tire. And so we had all this luggage, we were bringing it in, we had like 45 minutes to get onto the plane. How 45 minutes? Is that pretty solid? Something like that. Well, all of our luggage didn't get like tagged and stuff like that. And so when we got to Honduras, we had no proof that all of this was our luggage. We also didn't have our luggage. And I was one of the people that didn't have his luggage. And so I was in Honduras with a t-shirt and shorts and some electrolyte packets. And I think I had like Vaseline for my lips and, you know, a neck pillow. So I was like, all right, you know, preaching the word of God with that, and that's going to be my supply. But what did I say? God supplied. So on Saturday, we got there Friday night, and we ate some food. And yet again, this was the food that we were told is probably going to make us sick. And so, you know, I have my electrolyte packets, I have my Vaseline, and I'm eating food that's probably gonna make me sick, and I'm so happy about it. I mean, you have no idea. I'm thrilled to do this, because I'm filled with the joy of Christ, and so is everyone. Everyone was filled with the joy of Christ. These kids are like, and I'm one of the kids, they were just good sports about everything. And so you're surrounded by people who are as excited about eating food that is going to make them sick as you, because the next day you're going to do a food distribution and you need to be fueled up for that. So you eat your food and get ready for the food distribution. So Chris, could you go to the next slide, please? So just to give you an idea of what some of these houses look like, this is what they look like. This is not the person that accompanied my team, like my group that was distributing food, but this is just one of them. And I was pretty much unaware of how they were going to lay this out. And I think our whole team was pretty unaware of how they were gonna work this out in Honduras. But we had a interpreter come with us and we would drop off food. And then we'd get a chance to talk to these people in these houses through the interpreter. And they would confess Christ. We'd ask them if they were familiar with the gospel. We'd ask them if they wanted to. And we had to ask the interpreter what they were asking because we didn't know. And that was our first really activity there. And it was a new thing to this trip. This is my first year going to Honduras, and I'm very glad that I got to be a part of that because that was a very unique and important experience there. Next slide, please. So I'm gonna take a little bit to give you a backstory before I get there. This is our hotel in Morazan. So after a food distribution, on Saturday, like evening, we go to a youth group program and we're playing soccer with these kids. And it's a very muddy sport. And so yet again, I can't like take a shower or anything. So I'm like, I don't really know how this is gonna go, but I had a really good time like playing soccer with these kids and playing sports with them. And I didn't know if I was gonna get clothes when I got home or not, and I did. So we were told that most of our luggage was gonna come in. The airport was going to drive it to us at our hotel in El Progreso. But we were missing three bags. They said, for sure, three bags are missing. And I was like, it's gonna be mine. It's not gonna have my luggage, I'm gonna have mine. I was pretty certain that it was one of the bags was not gonna be mine, but for sure we're missing three. And we go to our luggage, and all the luggage is there. The three that they said was gonna be missing as well. And so that was three scares now, and everything was right there because God supplied this trip. So that was Saturday night. And then Sunday, that was our travel day. And I'm coming out to the lobby of our hotel in El Progreso, and there's a bunch of people in the lobby. And I knew that they were the interpreters, but I wasn't exactly sure of, like, how this was going to work. I wasn't sure, like, what the layout of this would be. Hold on a second. But there was a lot of excitement in the room. And I was included in that. Yet again, there's always this just immense amount of joy for this trip. And I'm talking to the people, the interpreters. They're all from this bilingual school. And so I'm just like mingling a little bit. And I was a little bit shy at first because like I didn't know who these kids were. And then I got comfortable and started talking to them. But the next part that I saw God move was on the bus. So I'm sitting on the bus and I got to my left a boy named Fabio. To the right, I got a boy named Rodrigo, and diagonal to me, I got a boy named Sebas. Chris, can you go to the next slide? Next one. This is me and Sebas, Sebastian. He's a really sweet boy, but we were all sharing our testimonies on there. We were introducing ourselves. We were saying like how we got involved with this trip to Honduras. We were explaining how God's moved in the past because I was new, so I was asking them. And this was my first connection to foster with a brother in Christ who was a bilingual student, and this stayed for the rest of the trip. So I continually got to encourage this brother, stay in touch with this brother, and reflect on our day's teachings once we actually went to the schools. So this is all before we actually went to the schools in Honduras. You can go back one slide now, Chris, please. Okay, so this is a lower school. This is not the high school team. But I just want to give you an idea of like what it looked like. They're dancing on stage. There's this song that we do called Fuego Fuego, which is fire, fire. And the kids love it. And we have a lot of fun dancing with them. And, you know, they open up to us through things like these dances. And they open up to us through our crafts and stuff like that. And then once we open those doors, those relationships with them, we can encourage them and introduce them to the Word of God. Although a lot of them were already familiar with it, but that was like the gateway to get to them. And so I got to watch these dances and portents be put right in front of me, because I mean, when you don't know what it's like to go to Honduras and you're going to these team missions trips, these team mission meetings, and you're like dancing about this song called Fuego Fuego, and you're like, it's the afternoon after church at 12:15, you go there and it's like, what's the point of this? And then that's the point. So you're right, you know, I'm glad I got to learn those dances and experience that. On Sunday night, that was when we were traveling all day. And so we get to our hotel in Morazan. If you want to go back one slide again, please. That's our hotel. That's what it looked like. If you want an idea of like the conditions, what we had, I had a turquoise toilet that my knees touched the wall to. It was very, very small. The shower was a pipe that came out of it was just a straight pipe that came out of the wall. And there was no temperature. It was just cold. But it felt amazing because you're just hot the whole time and your clothes are sticking to you. And so that was perfect. Best shower that you could ever ask for. Everything was the best. Best toilet you could ask for, best bathroom. They had good AC though in the places that we slept in, so that was comforting. So our first day of teaching, my teaching partner's name is Arabel. And we were planning our lesson plan since January, and we like redid our lesson plan a couple of times. A lot of our lessons were on Peter and his life and his experiences. And so I guess I want to think about what I want to share most about those. The kids were quite familiar with Christ in my class. I taught the seniors, and they knew who he was, and they knew these stories, but they didn't live for Christ. And the way that I figured that out was I would ask them. I was like, well, what things do you do that make you think that you're a Christian? What things do you do that make you affiliate with this religion or, you know, whatever you might call it? And they didn't really have answers to those things. But they knew who he was. They knew the stories. They knew the ideas. And that was good because now we could water the seed that they already had. And that was a good place to start. And so through the week, the most important thing that I saw was just fostering the connections with these kids, playing volleyball with them, playing Uno with them. Chris, can you go to the next slide, please? One more. There we go. This is us playing Uno. This was a good time. So my interpreter, her name is Anna, and she's an absolute hoot. I love getting to talk to her. I would say like a word. So I'd be, you know, I would say something, and then she would interpret for me. And so I would say something, and then she'd like say this long string of stuff. I was like, that's not what I said. That's not what I said. I was like, you know, and then Peter did this, and then she would just talk for like a minute. And I was like, she's making her own lesson plan. This is not fair. But we had a good relationship, and she was a good communicator. She could control the class. She was 23 years old. And she's been doing this her whole life, and so I was very grateful to have her. Me and Arbo were very grateful to have her. I'm going to skip ahead a couple days. So that was Monday that I'm talking about. We're going to be there for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. These are the days that we're teaching at the high school, and I'm going to be with the seniors every day. So we're every day I'm just you're going through your lesson plans, and you have it pretty much structured about the life of Peter. And these kids are affected by it. They're engaging. They're asking questions. I had this one student who I couldn't pronounce the name of. Well, I couldn't pronounce the name of many of them, but I made an effort for sure to. My interpreter told me to call him Angel, and I called him Angel. Is he in that picture? No, he's not. He's in my class. Chris, can you go to the next slide? Okay, he's on the right with his arms crossed in the black shirt. Just like me. That's Angel. And in the beginning, he's a real jokester. He's a comedian. He loves talking. He loves saying things that I don't know what he's saying, but I know they're about me, and I know they're about Arbo, because they're looking and they're laughing, but I don't know what they're saying. And Anna, I'd be like, Anna, what are they saying? She's like, they think your shirt's funny. I'm like, I've been wearing this shirt every day of the trip. That's not what they're saying. So yet again, she's just, you know, whatever she wants to say, she said. But what I want to say about him is that he made the most dramatic transformation out of these 4 days. So at the beginning, he's just joking. He's not really listening. He's playing, twiddling his thumbs. And I began asking the class questions, same as normal. And he begins to engage with them like crazy. And he begins to give these long answers to these questions that are quite simple. And he begins exploring the concepts of Christianity deeply. And at one point, when Arba was sharing her testimony, he even had tears in his eyes. And, you know, it was just a comedian, just a little angel. But he really lived up to the nickname by the end of the trip. And that was a really cool experience. So on Friday, Arbo, we switched. We were like going back and forth through our lesson plans. And at one point, Arbo's looking at the script, and she's like, and I'm like, what's wrong? And she's like, this doesn't really work right now. And I was like, what do you mean? And I looked through it, and I'm like, yeah, it doesn't really work. We didn't pay close enough attention to this one bit of the script. So I was like, put it down. We don't need a script. Right? We know the gospel. We know the word of God. And now we know these students. And when you know the students, it makes it a lot easier to talk to them without a script, right? Because you know what they need to hear, and you know, you just give your trust to God. And so I looked down at the pages of verses that we had, and the one that my eyes went to right away was, lean not on your own understanding, but trust the Lord your God with all your heart. I was like, okay. So I did that. So I said, put the script down. And I just start talking. And I look at Anna, and I give her this face. It's like, if there's any time you're going to translate what I'm translating, start doing it now, please. And she did. She did just that. I could tell because I was saying one word, and then she was saying like one to two words. And I was like, now we're actually on the right page. And so I have these kids in a circle. At first I was like pacing the room, but then I realized that that's really not what they wanted, because I'm the same age as them, and I'm like walking around like I own the place. I don't own the place at all. I'm a humble servant of God. That's what I'm here to do. I'll sit with you and look you guys in the eyes because you deserve it. And so I did that, and I'm looking around the room, and I don't really remember what I said because I gave up my will. I laid it at the feet of Christ, and I just started talking. And I think it was what needed to be said. Well, I know it was what needed to be said because I didn't say it, and I probably would mess it up if I started talking. At this point when I'm talking, there was other people that had tears in their eyes again. And at the end of that class, I ask Anna to pray. And so she gives a really long prayer, and I wish I knew what she said because I don't know what she said. I should have asked her what she said. But these kids, like one by one, I ask them the questions at the end of the prayer, like the same ones that I've been asking all week. And they knew the gospel, and they wanted more of it, and they were interested in sharing it to more people, and they all accepted Christ into their heart that day, all nine of them. So at this point, I have these connections with my brothers and sisters in Christ in Honduras. I have a class who is willing to follow Christ and continue in his footsteps, and I went to a few of them afterwards, and I was like, you know, we're leaving, but the best way to remember us is to just share what we shared to you, because that's how the gospel works. It's simple enough that it can be spoken of through our words, right? That's the fantastic part about it. And you have people like Luke, who's a doctor, who writes in this intricate way, but then you have people like John, who spoke in the most, like, common man dialect that he could. And that's what's interesting about the gospel, is that it's simple. And so it's just do what we have been doing forever. Continue to share it, and you'll remember us. And we'll be back next year, God willing. And that's what we left with. And so that's my class right there. Anna's in the middle. You can tell she still has that smirk on her face. She knew what she did. And then Arbo's all the way on the left with the students. And that was a heck of a trip. That was a really, really interesting time. So like I kind of mentioned this before, but we had a high school team, and then we had a lower school team. And Mrs. Faust was the leader of the high school team. And so I asked her if she would be willing to share some today. So I'm going to introduce her on stage in a second. But I also want to thank Mr. Faust today, because for a few different reasons I'd like to thank him. The first one is that I was at a game the other day, and I was kind of stressing about talking here. And I was like, do I need to apply things? And I gave him a rundown. I said it real confident. I said what I was going to do. I was like, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to apply it to this. I'm going to do that. And he I was like, okay. He's crossing his arms. He's a pretty steady guy. And you know, he finally shares what he thinks. And I think that you didn't say this, but it was something along the lines of, I don't know what you're qualified to talk about, but I know one thing you're qualified to talk about, and it's Judah Shelton's experience in Honduras. That's what you're qualified to talk about. So I didn't use this as a chance to apply anything, and I didn't try to fit my story into any sort of narrative, just the narrative that I lived and experienced, because that's the best way to show how God worked, and you can take it as you will. But now I want to introduce Mrs. Faust to the stage to talk about her experience in Miami and also to fill in the plenty of gaps that I've left in this conversation.
So I feel like a proud mother. Like, these are my children. I've got to share with a couple of you that I have taken multiple trips to Honduras. This is my second trip to Honduras. I did twice to the Dominican Republic. And my joy is to kind of take these kids under my arm and kind of show them little ways. And then I don't teach while I'm there. I'm kind of the one running and grabbing and putting and doing things. And that's what I do. I get to watch these kids metamorphose in front of my eyes of, oh my word, what am I doing? Or, oh my word, I don't know what to teach. To the end of the day, we get a whole class saved by Christ because God's working in them. They're learning. They're using what God's given them to honor God, and God's going to use that, and He honors that every time. So Honduras is an awesome experience. I'll fill in just a tad bit before I share Miami, but so Awesome Adventure has been going to Honduras for I think almost 20 years. So this is a kind of a compilation of fruit of the children's pastor there. I know Jason and Hannah, we've had some relatives here that go also. But yeah, this is a faithful servant of Pastor Terry who has started 20 years ago with elementary kids school. And then I think like 8-9 years later, you know, he's getting called into a middle school saying, these kids are asking for you, who are you? And then 3 years ago, met with Pastor Terry, hey, how was your trip? And he's like, I had the weirdest situation. I was called into a high school principal's office. Like, I don't know what to do with that. And he looked at me and said, Awesome Adventure, who are you? Like, they're asking for you. We don't know who this is. And he, you know, come. And Pastor Terry looked at me and said, listen, we're not going to speak morals. We're going to speak the name of Jesus to these kids. So I need you to know that straight up front. And God, when can you come? You know, this is awesome. When can you come? So that's how we kind of got started. I did attend West Shore Free after we came back from my husband's military travels. And then I got involved, and then we go to a church in Dillsburg. It's another AG church there. And I had found the fact that the church that I went to was dying to do international missions. And so when I talked to Pastor Terry, he said, I have this high school who wants us to come, but I don't have a group to do it. Like, I don't know where to do it. Literally 2 weeks later, Steve Spuler, our pastor at Life in Christ, goes, I think it'd be really cool to do international missions. And I was like, let me tell you about something that fell into my plate, or we talked about, or God's timing, nothing falls into the plate. And so that's how it all got started. So coming back for our second year was really, really cool. Last year was just youth from our church, young adults. And so this year when West Shore Christian Academy's Spanish teacher approached us about joining with some couple of the kids there, I mean, we were just excited. So Judah told you the trip. He gave you bits and pieces of it. But as a leader, God just stretched me this year. From first of 20 minutes down the road, I mean, I finally had everyone in the bus. We had everything in. You know, I passports checks. You know, we have everything to go. And literally 20 minutes down the road, my daughter screams because underneath her bottom, the big pop goes, and there we are already stranded on the side of the road, you know? And you're like, oh, great. My daughter had just listened to a song that morning by Forrest Frank. It's gonna be a good day, you know? So I'm outside with my phone, and I'm going, it's gonna be a good, you know? You just gotta keep convincing yourself of this stuff as you go along. And like I said, Fuego, Fuego, it's a song about God keeping the fire going in your heart. And so we unloaded everything, and we stood on the side of that road, and we're like, what do you do while we're waiting? And we're like, you Fuego, of course. So we put our phones on, and, you know, we're all dancing on the side of the road, and we're going around and dancing, and, you know, cars are driving by, and the cars are, and it was great, because God had us stop at this little extra road on the side. So, of course, following Judah's quote, you know, just supply, completely supply. Yeah, then the airport was just a mess. The printer stopped printing out our luggage tags. Literally, one of the other ladies in the trip, her name's Maria, she said she just lived her life fantasy of, what's the show? Amazing Race, because she's always dreamed of like running for that plane, like when she watches Amazing Race. And at one point, Elsa, one of the girls in our group, she had this luggage, it was getting heavy, and she just turned to Jude and chucked it at him. And so the luggage was called Chase from then on, because that's what it was, you know. In fact, when it got to it, they told me I wasn't allowed to get on the plane. I had me and five other people, and I was like, I got a little mama bear on them, and I was like, I need to get on that plane. And since then, I've been told now that what I have to tell them is I have unaccompanied minors on that plane, and I need to get on there. So that's my little in the back. But once again, from the very beginning, the devil just kind of just kept putting his little thing in, and God just kept supplying. So fast forward past Honduras, we're flying home. We're all kind of a little tired, but man, just the joy of what we experienced was just awesome. And we flew into Miami, and we now have Hurricane Debbie. I hope my children never use the word Debbie, because I really don't want to hear that name too many more times. But yeah, so we found out Saturday night, we're stranded. We can't do anything. So our leader, Pastor Terry, who normally goes on these trips, while he was in the Dominican Republic, actually broke his hip. And so our fearless leader, unfortunately, couldn't go. So Kelsey, tons of mission experience. So her and I were kind of trying to figure out how this was going to work. We're told we got put on standby. So we had to find a hotel. We found a hotel. We found a shuttle service. We literally took up the whole shuttle service, except one lady who got on with us, who was very sweet. But, you know, we're in this hotel, and we thankfully found, I think it was 7 hotel rooms or something crazy that we needed. And I just had no clue what was going on. You know, Pastor Terry left us his credit card, swiped it once, went to swipe it twice, it denied it. We're trying to figure out how we're going to pay for these rooms. We're just working through everything. And I tell you, there's nothing that beats being a leader of my children when all of a sudden the lobby fills with, "It is well with my soul," as they're singing behind me. And I was like, at that point, we finally paid for everything. No joke. I was like, yeah, I'm signing my name because I have the coolest group in the whole wide world. And I'm like, God is with us. And it was just really cool. So, you know, Domino's Pizza delivered at 1 or something in the morning. And we made it work. So we did have a new plan for the next day. Unfortunately, it did involve us separating a little bit. Judah was very sad to leave us. We were very sad. Actually, we were very sad. It was hard because our group found like we meld and we bonded and we were kind of ripping it apart a little bit. So from my individual church, we had 8 of us. I made 9. And when you get plane tickets on your phone, you can do 9 only. So we divided up in groups of 9. And there was another male student who... he was the 9th, so it was Life in Christ Fellowship and Evan. You'll see Evan on a picture a little bit later. But yeah, so everyone else left us. It was kind of a little bit weird. We did have a little worship service in the hotel room. And I think what stuck with us girls the most was that we did end up singing 10,000 Reasons. And we were singing it, and I looked at the girls, and I said, "What sticks with you?" And Elsa looked at me, and she goes, "The line that says, 'Help me be singing when the evening comes.'" And I was like, all right, we'll try to do that. So that'll circle back around. But yeah, so just the time we had. So 12 o'clock goes, we go to the airport, we kill time, and Debbie does its little circle, comes back around, and leaves us maintaining still in Miami for our Miami vacation, as some call it. So yeah, a lot of phone calls, a lot of trying to figure out hotel rooms. Literally, as we were calling and they were trying to book us, they would go, "Oh, that hotel room's gone. Oh, that hotel room's gone." And so then I'm like, well, we really need a shuttle service. We're stuck here in the airport. So after getting off the phone with that, I did find 2 hotel rooms, but there was no shuttle service. So the whole group went up. The group was amazing. You know, "Mrs. Faust, you can't pull luggage. You're worried about too much." So they took care of my luggage for me. We went to a facility to get a rental car everywhere because everyone needed a car to get somewhere. So no, 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 no. We got to budget. they're like, we have no one way. I was like, but what if we're coming back to Miami? And they're like, maybe. So thankfully, still had good humor, went up to the desk. I was like, I would like a car, please. We'll bring it back tomorrow. And the guy goes, he's clicking a little bit, we have a convertible. It's like, well, we have nine of us. The kids are like, let's just stack the car up high with luggage. Once again, still had humor, but then thankfully a Range Rover came. But just the devil stuff. I mean, we got out of the car, out of the parking garage, and the gentleman beside, or Philip beside me, his phone wouldn't pick up GPS. I mean, he's like, my phone's never not picked up GPS. We're driving on a road having no idea where a hotel is, you know. Thankfully, pulling over, and we messed with it, and the car had GPS. So we arrived at the hotel. This is 12 o'clock or so at midnight, and we go up at the counter, and I ask for our rooms, and he hands me one set of keys. And I said, no, I like showed my receipt. I have two rooms. And he looks, and he types on his computer a little bit more, and he's like, ma'am, I see what that says, but we only have one room even available to give you. So I was like, all right. So I took the first group up. At that point, one of our, Lydia, who had gotten sick the last day of Honduras, was getting feverish again. So we kind of got up, got her to bed. I went back. I called Elsa, who was at the airport for round two of going. And I called her, and I said, where are you at? I'm at D8. I'm at the post, okay? I will get you departures 8. I said, I'm just going to warn you right now, we only have one hotel room. And that blessed girl, through God's grace, said to me over that phone, she goes, but we have one hotel room. And I said, you're right. And so this is actually the perfect slide. Thank you for having here. But you can see they slept on the floor on the bottom corner. There was my daughter's there. Elsa's there again. So that's Philip. Evan, our adopted child into our church, he was in the middle. And then Isaiah was on the other side. It was 2 o'clock. We turned out the lights, and none of us had dinner. We were all pretty rough. And I honestly had no idea how we were getting home at that time, because we had no plane and we had no car, et cetera, et cetera. So God woke me back up at 4:30, and I did what every good girl does, and I called my mother because that's what I needed. So thankfully, my mom wakes up at 4:30, 4 o'clock. I don't know if she slept that night, because I don't think as mothers we ever truly let go of all that. And she prayed with me. And we just didn't, and I realized, you know, I was looking at options. Can I rent a car? Can I drive us home? You know, can we? And then I was learning there's 200,000 people without power. Like, what was I going to find out when I got further? And so I just bowed to it as much as I didn't want to, and I bought plane tickets for Wednesday morning. And then I booked a hotel room right then, because it was 4:30 in the morning, they were available. And we found that it had shuttle service and everything else. And so then, once again, just God just continued to supply. So two trips, we went to the hotel. The hotel had a refrigerator, had microwaves. We went to the grocery store. Even just having the kids like, oh, I just want my yogurt, or I just want my fruit, or I just want something that I'm used to eating. So we filled the refrigerator with snacks and just had all kinds of food. The other picture you see there is we had sandwiches for lunches that day, and we just kind of made do with what we had. But once again, just supplying. I took a nap. I was exhausted. I woke up, and I just felt anxiety just fill me again. And I looked at the girls, and I said, can you just pray for me? I just even trying to get us dinner tonight, I'm just feeling very overwhelmed. And so they prayed for me, and then my daughter, who some of you met, she did have to head out. She looked at me and she said, Mom, give me your phone. So I gave her my phone. Hey, there's a Subway in walking distance. We'll take the boys. Okay. So I pulled up my app. She walked around each person. They put their order in. And she brought back, with the guy's help, a dinner. So once again, just continue supplying for who the heck knew what we were going to encounter and what we were going to do. And the bond we have now, I still, like I said, they're all like, you're our mother now. I'm like, yes, I am. And I still text them periodically, and I'm asking about all types of things. But God just supplies. So Wednesday morning, after watching a lot of Olympics, swimming, doing silly stuff in a weight room, Wednesday morning we did fly out, and we were able to get home around 3 o'clock to the church. I never felt so good to be sitting on that plane. Look at those smiles. It was like, praise Jesus. Even the morning, the boys, we were supposed to get in the shuttle at 4:30, and at 4:10, their lights were still out, and we were opening and knocking on the door and waking them up. And one of the boys had trouble finding his passport right as I was putting his luggage on. So, you know, just little things to stress you out in the last moments. But yeah, so there we are on the plane. and we did get home, and it was good. So I can't think of a better quote, Judah, than to describe our trip, because I feel personally now that I have a greater confidence in my God, because I went through some crazy things as a leader and the only adult in a group, and knowing that he supplied and that he could supply through these teens for my attitude. He could supply everything we needed, even in all situations. Last thing I'm going to share, it's amazing how God provides, or God even gives us heads ups, but this is actually a card that my dad sent to the girls and I who went to Honduras, and there's a little $30 in it. We had a little souvenir. We got some shirts, but I didn't realize what this letter meant until I got back home. So here's the letter from my dad. It says, "The long-awaited excitement and preparation for this year's mission trip is fast approaching and will become a reality. We pray for your safe travels, good weather, good health, and for God's will to be done. Sorry to be a downer, but my heart and head have asked the question, have you prepared for the unexpected? My guess is no. We can't prepare for something that we don't know about. This is when our faith and trust in God goes with us for those moments of uncertainty, not just walking beside us, but carrying us, showing us his great love. Have a great trip trusting in the God whom you seek to serve. Love, Mom and Dad."